can women move from trauma to leadership? Welcome to another episode of It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I'm really, really excited to have our guest today, Cynthia Ruiz, who is a powerful executive coach, professor, best-selling author, inspirational speaker, leadership expert. What I love most is when I had a chance to connect with her, we really talked about the real challenges that we as women face, depending on, you know, how we grow up, where we grow up, and the cultural challenges, the patriarchal challenges, and how do we get through that? How do we come through and step into our full self-authority? And we had amazing, amazing discussions about that. So I'm excited now to introduce you. Cynthia, so great to have you.
Well, Dr. Kate, first of all, I just want to express my gratitude for you allowing me this opportunity and want to acknowledge all the great work that you do. I really feel it's so important for women to come together, support each other, because we as women, when we support each other, we all rise. So it's just an honor and a privilege to be here with you today.
Hey, you too. I mean, that's exactly how I feel. So I feel very honored to have you here. And let's go ahead and sort of jump in. What would you like to share about that have been some of your standout challenges in your life growing up?
Well, I have to say that I have had many challenges in my life. So I come from a dual background. I'm Mexican on my dad's side, and even though my grandparents came to the United States from Mexico over 100 years ago, I still identify with the Latino culture. Mm-hmm. I like to say that I get my passion for life and love for dance and music from my Latina side, and then on my mom's side, we're Native American Cherokee. Mm-hmm. I'm a registered Cherokee of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma based in Tahlequah. The Cherokees are the largest tribe in the United States with approximately 400,000 registered citizens. And so from my native side, I get my spirituality and love for Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. So I feel like at this point in my life, I have the best of both worlds. But as growing up, I didn't always feel like that because I didn't feel like I fit in a lot. Because even from my Latina side, I don't speak Spanish because my parents divorced when I was young. So I didn't grow up speaking Spanish. So on the Latino side, I kind of got rejected because I didn't speak Spanish. And then on my Native American side, because I live in Los Angeles, kind of got rejected because I didn't live in Oklahoma where the majority of the tribe lived. So growing up, there was a lot of challenges, identity challenges. So for me, I was the first person in my family to go to college, which was a struggle. I didn't have anybody to help me or help me financially, so I had to work really hard. But I saw at a very early age that if I got education, that was my way out. And when mm-hmm. I knew my way out, I grew up in a lot of gang around, surrounded by gangs and negativity. And I felt like education would be my golden ticket out. So I was very fortunate that I went straight through and got my master's degree by the time I was 23. So, yeah. You know, for me, it's about, you know, committing to yourself. Because I think what happens with so many women in particular, women grow up in society feeling they're not worthy. Mm-hmm. They're not worthy of love. They're not worthy of success. They're not worthy of greatness. And so it's really about turning within. And what really connected me is my spirituality. Mm-hmm. I use the term creator from my Native American side, but I can say God, I can say universal consciousness, I can say source. To me, it doesn't matter what term you use, but having that understanding that there's a power greater than us. And for me, that comes from my Cherokee roots. Because mm-hmm. as Cherokees, we're taught that everybody is connected. And not only are we all connected, we're connected to everything that's ever been, past, present, and future. And when you have a holistic view of the world, you understand that you're connected. And when you understand that you're connected, you feel a sense of responsibility to humanity.
Oh, I'm with you on that, Cynthia. So, I mean, I can relate to a lot of it. I grew up in LA as well. Mm-hmm. And even though I, you know, am an Anglo, I was very called to the spiritual paths very young and started studying some Native American with teachers and also shamanic work and Toltec tradition work very early. And that was a big part of me learning to hold on to myself and cultivate my sense of self. So that you're right. That's how we start to know that we have a sense of self beyond, you know, what our little brain thinks, our little personality. And we do, we start to know that we are connected beyond just ourself. And that sense of obligation or respect or connection to the bigger purpose has always been a guiding light for me, but not a lot of people have that. So what was that like for you to start to connect more with the Cherokee wisdom from your mother's side? You know, when you were feeling like lost and a little bit, you know, caught up in the negativity around you.
Well, it was actually out of my challenges that I found my spirituality. So I believe that everybody in life has emotional baggage. And the baggage is caused for experiences that we've had. Everybody in life grows up, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter where you live. We all grow up and have experiences. The good experiences usually create memories. The bad experiences usually create emotional baggage. And that emotional baggage shows up in a lot of different ways. It could be anger, resentment, guilt, shame, insecurities. So to me, the key is to work through all that emotional baggage mm-hmm. so you can get to a point of being happy, whole, and complete. And some of my emotional baggage was caused by trauma. When I was 17 years old, I was already living on my own, and I was violently raped. And so I didn't know what to do with all that. I didn't go to the police and report it because in my community, the police weren't trusted. So I just buried it. So yeah. It left me a sense of not feeling safe. Mm-hmm. So I buried it. And then I used that energy to thrive and went to college. And like I said, I got my college degree. But when I was in college, because I didn't feel safe, basically my first boyfriend in college, we ended up moving in together and living together and then getting married. But I can look back now and see I did that because I wanted to live with somebody. I wanted to live with a man because I didn't feel safe. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out too well. I married a Latino man and he became physically abusive. Mm-hmm. So now it's trauma on top of trauma.
Right.
I didn't really know what to do with all of that. And I have to say, a little bit embarrassed to say, I stayed married for 10 years. And finally, it wasn't until the physical abuse happened in front of my son. At the time, my son was 7. And then it kind of like the light bulb went on. Mm-hmm. If I stay in this relationship, this is going to be my son's role model. And he's right. going to grow up thinking this is normal, and it's not. So I left that situation because I didn't want my son to get into that cycle yeah. of abuse.
Yeah, it's amazing how that, you know, how that becomes this other layer of us seeing ourselves as mom, as women, right? We'll kind of stay in the bad situation. And then eventually when we see it through our children's eyes, we're like, oh no, that is not okay. Like I had that happen when my son was 1 and my daughter was just born. And I saw my husband behave like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he had been behaving badly, but he had his own massive trauma that he hadn't dealt with, but he was behaving in that way now towards the children. And I went, oh no, you know, like that is not, there's no way. I don't know how I'm going to leave. I don't know how it will work, but I'm going to do everything to protect them because you suddenly get that lineage, right? You're like, oh, I'm just passing this down the pike now.
Yeah. Yeah. So all those, the trauma that I went through it really left kind of like a hole in my soul. And so I started searching, and that started my spiritual journey.
Great.
And I knew, I used the term at that time, God, and I still do. Neither was a God, but I didn't really connect with organized religion.
Yes.
So through, I did a lot of soul searching. I did a lot of, read a lot of self-help books, attended a lot of, you know, workshops in self-help. And that began my spiritual journey, which has evolved. And today I'm so grateful because my spiritual practice consists of number one, gratitude, number two, prayer, and number three, meditation. So all of that keeps me grounded. So it's been a process, and it's been a process. It's been a healing journey as well. And so for me, you know, through that healing journey over the coming, overcoming the sexual trauma, I really feel a sense of freedom. And I learned about the power of forgiveness. But it's interesting because I forgave the person that caused the trauma a long time ago. The piece that really set me free, and a lot of people don't understand this, I had to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we feel that we did something to bring the trauma onto ourselves. Like what? Mm-hmm. And there's a shame and guilt associated with that. Mm-hmm. So once I forgave myself for the trauma that occurred to me, I was free. And it's really interesting because people don't really understand that dynamic, how mm-hmm. when you are victimized, you feel like you caused the trauma.
Well, especially as women, right? Okay, because if we look at that larger context of being in a patriarchy that already is about oppressing the feminine wisdom, you know, power, voice, and then we look at the, you know, way that that was also happening with abuse and control in marriages. Women were property. Women didn't have that liberated, you know, ability to just be themselves. So when abuse was happening, it was blamed on the woman, right? And we see that in the domestic violence cycle. It's always like, well, if you didn't just make me upset, I wouldn't have had to beat you, you know? And so it's this blaming, and women have been, you know, we've learned to take it on as this is my fault. And I think part of that is just the victimization, but it's also perhaps a way that we try and feel like we can change it. If it's my fault, I can grow and I can get stronger and healthier and I can change it. But ultimately we have to know we can only change ourselves, right? We can't change our partners. We can't help them get better. They have to want to do that themselves, whether it's a partner or, like you said, you know, just traumatic experiences. So being able to forgive ourselves, love ourselves. Yes, I'm right with you about that. That's a huge part of us being able to free up that pain and suffering and be able to embody the trauma in a sense, so that we are no longer, you know, avoiding it and we're not living in it. We can't process it and really be in the moment until we've faced it. So with gratitude and love and forgiveness, that really helped you step into your freedom, sounds like.
Absolutely. And one thing I really want your listeners to understand is that everybody has emotional baggage. And the sooner you're able to identify your individual baggage and release that, the happier and healthier and complete you're going to be. And when I say look at your emotional baggage, do it from a place of non-judgment. Mm-hmm. Now just take a look. Okay, I had this experience and this caused me to not feel worthy. Mm-hmm. I had this experience and it created this insecurity. Maybe mm-hmm. my second grade teacher told me I was never going to make anything in my life or whatever. Everybody has different experiences. So really kind of take an inventory of your life and mm-hmm. say, okay, what experiences, it doesn't have to be extreme sexual trauma, but there are different experiences that affect us. Mm-hmm. So really look at what is my emotional baggage? How is it getting in my way? And how do I release that? Mm-hmm. And I recommend very simple. I mean, you can go to therapy. You can go to a 12-step program. You could, there's a lot of different ways. You can go and have Dr. Kate help you. But what I recommend is to sit down in a quiet place and write out that experience. Write it out on a piece of paper. And then once it's written out, I recommend that you burn it. And I recommend burning it with a white candle. So that's the physical act of releasing it. Because all these emotions in our body have energy. And so we have to energetically release this stuff out of our body so we can be free. So going through, taking an inventory, writing down your emotional baggage and releasing it, I think it's easy. Everybody can do it. I'm not saying it's magically going to disappear because some of this emotional baggage is deep rooted, but it's the first step in starting to feel better or finding a therapist or finding your support system to start working through this stuff. Because if you don't work through your emotional baggage, it sticks with you and shows up in many unhealthy ways in your life.
Definitely. Right. I mean, that's a huge block for most of us for being able to feel capable to step into what we really want. Right. If we want to be successful, or if we want a really loving relationship, or whatever it is that we kind of dream about, you know, if we're stuck in those old pain memories, pain bodies, I like your suggestion. It's a ritual, right? It's a ritual of acknowledgement and ownership on a certain energetic level. And that's, I think, any ways that we can start to get present with ourselves and what we've been through, we will be starting our journey of empowerment for sure.
And speaking of rituals, because I do have the Native background, I do ceremony. Ceremony is part of my ritual. Mm-hmm. I do several different types of ceremony. I do full moon ceremony. Full moon for me is the feminine energy, grandmother moon. I do new moon ceremony because new moon is the exact balance of the masculine and feminine. And then I also celebrate the new seasons, winter solstice, summer solstice, you know, the autumn equinox. So it's about finding something that works for you. And if you look around in nature, everything runs in cycles. Mm-hmm. And so it's about capturing that. And for me with ceremony, what we like to do is I like to do two parts to it. I usually include fire in my ceremony. So I'd have a fire pit. And the fire pit is used to release. So I do two parts of it, releasing, because I believe your life is like a circle. And only so much fits into that circle. So if you want to make way for new things in your life, you have to clean out that circle. So I have people write down what they want to release. They can be releasing emotions, people, things, whatever. They release it by throwing it into the fire and seeing it burn. And then the second part of that is setting your intentions, manifesting what you want in your life. I believe that all of us have the ability to manifest the life of our dreams. And women are really powerful. And right now is the time of the divine feminine. So I really can't emphasize enough how important it is for women to support each other. So in my work history in the past, I've been in situations where women are very jealous and petty. I'm working through that and really trying to help as many women as I can. Because like I started, when we help each other, we all rise. Yep. But going back to the point is rituals are important, whatever ritual that is looks like for you. I also have an altar in my house where I honor, in my altar, I have people that have made their transition, have pictures, you know, of them. And I use that as a central focus of prayer and meditation. So there's so many things that you can incorporate in your life to develop that spirituality and also, you know, to support each other, women. We all need to come together.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm super excited because I'm actually doing a retreat in September that's bringing women together to do ceremony, retreat, shamanic work, clearing. And I'm so excited because I think the more that we can participate together and connect and support, like you said, that's helping us vibrate at our full potential, and then we're helping really shift things in the world. Can you tell us a little bit about the leadership work that you're doing now?
Well, yes. So I teach leadership at a graduate level. And when you really look at leadership and defining that, there's over 60,000 books written about leadership. So if there's 60,000 books, there's no one answer of what leadership is. So I break it down in the simplest terms. Leadership is the ability to influence others. Let me say that again. Leadership is the ability to influence others. So when you think about it, we all have the ability to influence others. Mm-hmm. So if you're a parent, you influence others. You know, if you're in the workforce, you influence others. If you are involved in your church or community groups, you influence others. If you have friends. So we all have the ability to be a leader and influence others. However, influence is not created equal. It could be good or bad. So I really challenge people when they are influencing others to make sure it's done in a positive way. And right now, especially, it's generational. The young people influence others through social media. Mm-hmm. And social media is great. I'm all about social media. However, it's also created this unhealthy space for all the haters to come out and think it's okay to say negative things about people they don't even know. So I had that happen to me on Facebook. Somebody challenged me, saying that I wasn't Native American and all, just a bunch of lies. So I had people calling, my friends were calling me, my brother was calling me, and he's like, I need to go on and I need to defend your honor. And I said, nope. He goes, what? He goes, I go, no, ignore it. And he goes, no, but it's a lie. I said, you know it's a lie? I know it's a lie. Just please do me a favor and ignore it. Mm-hmm. He goes, but how can I ignore it? I said, just let it go. I said, because when you don't feed into that negativity, mm-hmm. they go on to the next person. Not that I'm saying yes. It, but it's like by the next day, it wasn't even an issue because none of my people fed into that craziness.
Right, right.
And so, you know, influence is positive or negative, but what you have to realize is with leadership, stand in your truth. Mm-hmm. You know, in the last 20 years, the big thing is authentic leadership. Mm-hmm. People are seeking authentic leadership and they want the leaders to be real. And mm-hmm. for me, you know, good leadership looks like people that have integrity, that mm-hmm. lead by example. You know, interesting, because I have studied leadership for so long, I actually took a class at Harvard on leadership. And when you look at the dynamics in leadership, there is a difference between men and women. And this is not stuff I'm making up. It's the textbooks talk about the different styles of leadership.
Different styles, yep.
And women tend to lead from community. Mm-hmm. Men tend to lead from individual. And what does that mean? When you have more female leaders, they look out for the greater good of the people.
Exactly.
They care about the people. Whereas masculine tend to be more individualistic and more transactional, and they're more about themselves getting ahead. I'm not judging either one, because I believe everything should be harmony and balance. But as we see the rise of women leaders, whether it be in politics or in the boardroom and in the business world, we're seeing a change in business in particular, where it's becoming more socially responsible. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about so many women taking leadership roles. But again, women, we need to support each other when we have women and not get jealous and not get petty and try to knock them down, because I believe in a world of abundance. I believe there's enough for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't come from that old mindset of sparsity and that there's only a limited amount.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
God's good, creator's good, and there's enough for all of us.
Exactly. And I agree, like that, so it's the masculine and feminine energies, and I'm glad to see women leading more as in harmony with their masculine and feminine, because they are being able to share this wisdom of leadership from the feminine what I would say is confidence and holistic view, right? That we're all connected and we lift each other up. You know, we saw that a lot during COVID, right? Certain countries being able to really manage the COVID very differently when it was a woman in charge. And so it's not to say the masculine's bad, because I think the masculine has become so distorted. Like, you know, they've suffered because of the patriarchal oppression of the feminine energy. And so, you know, men being individualistic has been that's been the whole, you know, goal of capitalism for a long time. And so we're really adjusting capitalism to be more, like you said, socially responsible. And that it has to be, because otherwise we're not going to have a future. You know, our earth is not going to be able to sustain us. And so I see that as sort of the path we hopefully will take.
Well, it's already happening. I mean, we can all see it. We can all feel it. And I'm really excited because from my Cherokee roots, we were a matriarchal society prior to the Europeans coming to the United States. So our core values are harmony and balance, mm-hmm. having that balance between the men and the women. And the women played a prominent role in society. And interesting enough, prior to colonization and Cherokee world, there was no sexual trauma. That didn't even occur. Actually, there was not even any alcohol either. It was all right. How do we live in harmony and balance? So to me, I feel like what's happening in the world right now, you know, there's a lot of chaos and craziness, especially with the pandemic, but I feel like we had to go through this transition, mm-hmm. get to the other side. And I see the other side, and I see so many women thriving. Mm-hmm. And I don't tell men all the time, because I'm pro-woman does not make me anti-men. Right. It's not even about that. It's about changing creating that paradigm shift to yes. have that harmony and balance so we can coexist. And when you really think about it, each and every one of us have the masculine and feminine energy within us. So exactly. It doesn't have to be external. It could be internal. And I think what was happening with a lot of the first women that were leaders, especially in politics in the United States, they felt they had to turn into a man to mm-hmm. compete. And yeah. now, and I don't get too political, but, you know, there's some examples where the female got so masculine that then nobody could relate to her.
Well, and it wasn't going to be accepted anyway, right? I mean, even in the last, you know, decade, you know, women who did rise, you know, they got to take a lot of gruff. I mean, a lot of negativity coming their way, because they are holding that space of the feminine. We are saying we're not going back to where women are just, you know, hidden in the closet at home. It's not going to happen. And so it really is this powerful time that I'm excited about. And you're right. Women, there's this feminine, you know, resurgence awakening that's helping women hold on to. And that's a lot of what I love to do, is help women own and recultivate and reclaim that feminine energy so that they are being able to hold a balance with their masculine in a better way. And that's what you're doing, right? With your leaders, because you're working with men and women, aren't you?
Well, it's interesting with my executive coaching business. I didn't start out like this, my intention wasn't only to work with women, but I'm finding that 90% of my business are female clients. I do private clients. I have contracts with government agencies, and it's just kind of evolved. And so what I'm finding that with my female clients, they get these high powered positions, and then the imposter syndrome kicks in.
Right.
And they're like, oh, do I really deserve this? I'm like, they didn't give you the job just because you're a woman. They gave you the job because you're qualified. So I'm working with them through not feeling the unworthiness part.
Right.
And really accepting their role. And so many of them are really thriving and succeeding. You know, for thinking back for me, back to Cherokee Nation, in my opinion, one of our most effective principal chiefs has been, she was our only female chief, principal chief, was a woman named Wilma Mankiller. Mm-hmm. Of course, people get shocked by the name, Mankiller. But that was her name, Wilma Mankiller. And it was interesting. So she led the Cherokee Nation for 10 years. I think it was from 1975 to 1985. And this is when gaming came into the Cherokee Nation. Right. She was hesitant. She's like, well, I don't know. Gaming sometimes can have a negative kind of undertone. And so she goes, and they bug, they're like, okay, come on, you know, chief, you have to bring in gaming. So she finally acquiesced on one condition, that all the money that came from gaming goes to community benefit. Because what happens is some tribes give out a lot. Okay, you can have whatever it is, $10,000 a month,
right,
whatever number. And so she says, no, it has to stay for everyone.
Great.
As fast forward to today, Cherokees have 10 casinos. Our budget is just under $1 billion a year. And we've built hospitals, schools. We have our own judicial system. We were the first tribe to build our own medical school. So next year, we'll be graduating our very first group of doctors.
Wow.
Out of the gaming money that she had that vision to keep within the community.
That's stunning. Because being in New Mexico, and I used to work on a pueblo here, and that's not what happened. I saw the gaming come in. I saw how things were happening. I saw how the families would get their little check, but there was where was the rest going? And it's painful because that's the model, right? That's part of that patriarchal capitalistic model. So how amazing. I hope that gets highlighted so much, what Wilma did and how that's happening today. That's amazing.
Well, and she was the first Cherokee. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which was a big deal. And she actually, at that time, you know, a lot of people were calling her a feminist. Mm-hmm. And she just said, you know, I am going to work hard for my community. And she really highlighted some of the Cherokee wisdom, because as Cherokees, we're taught when leaders make decisions to consider, to remember seven generations in the past,
right,
and consider seven generations in the future. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, instant gratification today. It's like, how is this decision, you know, what will my ancestors feel about it? How
right.
is it going to impact future generations? So when you go back to that holistic way of thinking, it's really caring about everyone and not just making a decision that's going to put a few bucks in my pocket for me only.
Exactly. I mean, it has to. That's part of the regenerative leadership that has to be happening now, because we are at a turning point. And even though a lot of positive is happening, it almost needs to like magnify faster. And so the work you're doing is so important. And I'm so glad that you were able to come on with me today. Do you have any closing words for a woman who may be sort of in the beginning of that journey, where she's gone through a lot of challenge and a lot of pain, and she just can't see the forest for the trees?
So I'm living proof that anything is possible. Anything is possible. But first of all, you have to believe it's possible. Second, you have to do the work, because there's some people believe it, but they don't do the work. They do the work and don't believe it. And the third ingredient is never give up. Mm-hmm. So you can have the life of your dreams. I mean, I am so blessed and grateful. I have an amazing life. But it took a lot of work to get here. Mm-hmm. And if you feel overwhelmed, just take the first step. You know, walking through your fear is probably one of the hardest things to do. But once you get to the other side, you're going to say, well, why was I stuck in that fear for so long? And fear shows up in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So number one, anything is possible. Just take the steps. And I keep emphasizing over and over again, support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Support the women around you, support your elders, support the young people, and support your peers. Because ladies, it's our time. I feel it. It's a time of the divine feminine. And it's not about taking over power. It's about standing in our power.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you on that. Wow, so great to have you. And I am going to have a way to, for people to contact you at your website. I'll have that in the show notes. And I wanted to get some links because you have like 6 books out on Amazon. I want to get those in there. And I do have some of your social media links in there. So people can come find you if they want to know more and they want to see what you're doing and what if they want to work with you, okay?
Dr. Kate, thank you so much for this opportunity. And keep spreading the love. And keep powering women because it's our time.
It's our time. All right, ladies, you heard it. You heard it here. I hope you really do take away some of the beautiful nuggets of wisdom we've covered today, and to feel inspired, and to feel courage really to take that next step for yourself, whatever that is. Okay, because remember, it's your turn to find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power. See you soon.